it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Rattler, pressure on first down, in some trouble, down he goes! Upton Stout, the rookie from Western Kentucky with his first NFL sack.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Fox Sports. Spencer Rattler. He wasn't bad. He wasn't bad. Not as good as Mac Jones.
Well, the 49ers coming in, I thought that Mac Jones was a better quarterback than Rattler.
Let me ask you this, Evan. What's been the most reassuring part of the 2-0 start for the Niners? The most reassuring. And I'll pull a Guru. Here's mine.
Okay.
I think we got to feel pretty good about where McCaffrey is. Don't we?
Well, he's been on the field.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Well, you said he wasn't going to make it, and the moment he gets hurt, we shouldn't be surprised because he's old, right? So...
No, I don't know that he's not going to make it. I think that he looks pretty good, though. And after where we were two Thursdays ago, you know, he may get hurt, but running backs get hurt. I don't think, like, last year it feels like it's behind him. He looks like he's pretty much his old self. You don't want to give him the ball 31 times, but what do you have, 19? That's a nice number. So he's got 50 touches in two games. I got to be for the guy who everybody said might be the most important player on the team. I'm excited about where McCaffrey is right now. A little more measured.
Well, that's what I am. It's a good word to describe me. You think McCaffrey looks like McCaffrey of old?
Like 85%.
Like 2 years ago, McCaffrey?
85-ish, something like that.
Yeah, I don't think he looks like McCaffrey from 2 years ago. He's still one of the best running backs in football, but that year he was clear-cut number one, no doubt about it, unquestionably. Now, I think the Niners have shown us that even with McCaffrey at 80%, or you said 85?
Yeah, something like that.
They're still humming with him.
Yeah, I'm interested... what 49er fans think about McCaffrey through two games.
I think it's less what he does out of the backfield as a pass catcher than it just doesn't feel like he has the same acceleration as a runner. Like he's still really patient. He sees everything in front of him, but it just feels like watching the game yesterday and in Seattle, there's a couple plays where you're like, he probably would have gotten 7 or 8 there instead of 3. Or he would have been able to break that for a first down instead of getting tackled for 6 or 7 yards.
I feel like you're not wrong, but I give him an opportunity to... If let's say he's 85%, I give him an opportunity to get back to 100 because maybe after he only played 4 games, there's some rust there that he's going to knock off in the first month of the season. But I do think this is really, really encouraging. And I think Brian Robinson's encouraging. I think we've seen through 2 weeks that Shanahan's going to kind of pick his spots with Christian McCaffrey to get him rest. I'm not going to fight you over, 15% or whether he's 2 years ago or not. I do give him the benefit of the doubt that if he's not what he was 2 years ago, maybe he can still get better over the course of a season, kind of knocking the rust off as opposed to wearing down. Maybe if he because he's touching the ball so much.
Well, I don't think he's going to get faster. You know, it's not. I don't think he's going to all of a sudden just turn back the clock midway through the year. But the more important part is that the offense looks kind of similar to what it did when he is out there, as opposed to last year where it's just there was just such a glaring difference when McCaffrey wasn't in games. And even though Jordan Mason is good, actually he might even so far has looked better than Brian Robinson, but it's neither here nor there. This offense is completely different with Christian McCaffrey in it. I don't really care if he's 85%. If some people still feel like he's at 100, maybe he feels less than 85%. I don't know. But just his presence on the field completely changes what the Niners are able to do offensively. And he, for a second game in a row, is a major threat out of the backfield. You have to account for him at all times, both as a runner and as a catcher. So, you know, I think that he looks a step slower. You know, he hasn't really broken a play yet, which in 2023, I think like his second rush of the season was that 71-yarder down the sideline against Pittsburgh. I don't know if we're going to see too many of those, but it doesn't necessarily matter because he's still one of the best running backs in the NFL.
Yeah, he is, and he caught six balls out of the backfield yesterday for 52 yards, and Mac Jones was asked what was working on third down that kept the 49ers' drives alive?
That's one of the things I wanted to focus on, and because like first and second down in the NFL, like it's tough, right? You got really good players on everywhere, and third down's like the money down, so you just have to be locked in, and it doesn't matter what happened on the first two plays. Like you're in third down for a reason, and you just got to try and run the play that's called. So I feel like we did a good job of that.
I mean, I feel like his demeanor's similar to Brock Purdy's also. Just calm, casual. Like they talk at a podium like they're older than they are.
He's got some swag to him too. You see what he was wearing in the game?
A uniform?
No, they don't wear uniforms to the game.
I thought you said what he was wearing in the game.
No, what he wore to the game, like when he walked in.
I saw Travis Kelce had shorts on and a tie.
Mac Jones, not Travis Kelce.
Oh, I didn't see what Mac Jones had.
Also, if he wore what Travis Kelce had, they might have lost. You see that drop in the end zone from Travis? Might have cost them the game, Steiny.
I saw it, and I have him on my fantasy team, so that hurt me. But
Whoa. I thought you were watching games for the love of football. You're just watching purely for fantasy?
No, I saw a highlight of the play.
So you didn't watch your Eagles?
I didn't. Did they play a game overseas? Or was that in Kansas City?
That was in Kansas City.
So the Eagles,
where did it look like they played?
I didn't see any of that game. It was at 10 o'clock, right? I was watching the 49ers.
It was at 1:25. It was following the Niners game. It was the game of the week.
Man, I took a nap.
So did Travis Kelce on that catch.
I went golfing, got home at 12, watched the whole game because I had it taped.
It could have gone to sleep at 5:30.
Got the game. The game ended about right around the time I was watching it, and then I just didn't feel like watching.
That Sunday night game was a snoozer too. Good God,
that was the Vikings
and the Falcons. Yeah, the Falcons just kicked field goals the whole game. It was brutal.
So, how'd your fantasy team do this week?
One of them did well. One of them did not do well.
This in the 95-7, the game league?
Not well, no.
Okay.
No, the guy you traded me stinks.
Michael Penix?
Yeah.
What's the matter with him?
He couldn't throw a touchdown last night.
I didn't even
The Falcons couldn't get in the end zone.
What'd Stephon Diggs do for me?
Better than Penix.
Okay.
Because he actually, you know,
I need
was on a team that could move the ball.
Risotto, how'd your team do?
This week I lost.
Yeah.
Last week I beat Lucas.
Oh, okay.
See, Stani, I'm starting to figure out that fantasy is more important to you than you're letting on.
Oh, you're right.
But you always,
I'm very competitive.
But you always come down fans road for just watching for the highlights and just for fantasy. Like you're not a real football fan if you're just watching Red Zone, right?
Yeah.
You're not an adult watching football if you're just watching for fantasy. But it seems like that's kind of all you're obsessed with every Sunday.
49ers and fantasy, yeah. That's pretty much. And the Eagles, if I feel like watching them.
Well, we made a bet at the cafeteria that you totally forgot about. I thought you'd be happier today.
No, I didn't. I don't remember that.
Well, you won.
Oh, what do you owe me?
A pop.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Sweet.
Goo and I made the bet with you.
You know what's funny?
Do you listen to anything that we say?
People are going to say, oh, Steiny, you must have been out of it. No, I actually left early on Friday. I was very distracted.
You don't even enjoy when you're winning.
You know what? You guys don't owe me anything for that. If I can't remember the bet, you don't owe me for it. How about that?
Oh, my God.
Seriously.
Come on, man. You got to pick up a W.
Yes. Let's go to film.
Huh? Are you serious?
I have, I'm losing to Dan Dibley by 0.7 points.
Thanks.
And I got a kicker going.
I need one point
to beat Dibs.
Is your kicker Jake Moody?
Cameron Dicker.
Oh, then you should be okay. Yeah.
Just give me a PAT and it's over. Speaking of which, you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey sports station in the home of the Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, Laughing Monk Righteously Brewed in San Francisco. We got Phil Mo Mike on the line, and let me tell you what Phil Mo Mike's going to say. You mark my words. He's going to say something like, I really like how the Niners are staying below the radar. I'll bet you that's what he says. What's up, Mike? How you doing?
Son, you know I love when they stay under the radar. Yeah. I don't like no national attention when the Niners is getting the love because they don't really like us. They just be acting like that. Yeah. But anyway, I like how we playing. I like the team spirit. I think we got a pretty decent team, but I'm not going to lie. I still love the boombox. The boom is something about the Niners. Big Trent Williams leading the way. I don't know what Kendrick Bourne was doing. If you go back and watch the video, he was doing some crazy dance moves. But I was just so thrilled to see Mac Jones up there too. Mac Jones got some weird swag, and I'm here for it, man. And I think the Niners, we look solid. We look decent. Got to stay humble. I like our cornerbacks. I like Renardo Green, Diamino Lenore. And, yeah, man, Key Rock and D. Winters is looking like Dean Winters, not Drake Greenlaw. I love it.
Yeah. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate the call. I actually agree with Mike on the there is something about – he used the word spirit.
Swag?
He said spirit. And I'm kind of feeling that too. There's something I do believe. Like, I know veteran teams can have chemistry and all that kind of stuff. I do think there's something – where if you have the right amount of youngsters with veteran players, you can really, really kind of bring it together. And I think the 49ers have a chance for that to happen this year. There is something going on to me with their defense. They look spirited. They look together. Their leaders look like they're super engaged. D. Winters has been really good. So, I mean, it's only been two games, Evan, but Sal has come here, and it looks like he's doing exactly what everybody hoped that he would do, which is get better over the course of the season defensively with your young players.
Well, I'm assuming they're going to get better, but to me, they're already at a higher level than we had anticipated. I think that's the big shocker, is that the defense is further along than we thought it could be with five or six rookies playing big snaps. Even someone like, I mean, D. Winters, we knew that he was good. He couldn't stay on the field last couple of years, but he looked like Dre Greenlaw. I know Film on Mike said he looked like D. Winters, not Dre Greenlaw. But he looked like Dre Greenlaw from like 2 years ago, from 3 years ago. And he's someone now that I expect to make plays. I didn't know what if I was going to get that from D. Winters. This is his first year as a starter. So I think it's really cool that, and maybe one of the reasons why people are, I don't know if it's like apprehensive, but, you know, aren't, I don't want to forecast this Niners team is because I still think we're learning about a lot of these players.
Well, and when I'm talking about the defense, and this is where, I do take into account they played the Seahawks and they played the Saints. and they're probably going to defend better offenses over the course of the season. But
well, do you look at the Seahawks differently now? Do you look at that game differently with what they did to the Pittsburgh Steelers?
Well, like I feel like their defense has been good the first 2 weeks, and they were good enough to win those games, which there was a doubt about that before the season. Like if you look at the games they lost, the kind of games they lost last year, their defense probably would have let them down one out of these first two games, but like they didn't. And like this is what I mean a lot of times by the like situational. They've gotten three holds when they absolutely had to get holds. And to me, that's very important. I don't know how lights out their defense really has been the first two games, but I think it's been obvious that it's been good enough that's given them an opportunity to beat 2-0. And I do think there were scenarios out there where maybe the defense wasn't good at the beginning of the year, and it prevents you from winning some early games. The reality is the defense has played well enough to have the 49ers at 2-0. And they're still young. They still hope to get better. So that's been a great sign, too.
I mean, they've had their closers. Like Nick Bosa closed it. Robert Saleh called him a closer last week. And he also mentioned Bryce Huff. Like, that was something that I noted when I was listening to Saleh on, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday. But after the Seahawks game, he talked about closers, and he didn't just say Nick Bosa. He also said Bryce Huff. And this was before Bryce Huff had kind of a welcome to the Niners sort of moment. And he did then in the following game after Saleh said that. So I think that it's also a sign of Saleh clearly, I think, has a really good pulse on his defense. And despite having a lot of fresh faces, you know, a new situation, he's got some guys that are left over from 2019, but not a ton. And this guy just knows how to freaking coach. And he gets, so far, he has gotten the most out, I think, out of this defense that he can.
You know what? Tell me if you agree with this. I feel like Saleh hasn't been as animated on the sidelines as he was his first go-around with the 49ers. Like when it seemed like yesterday when they showed him, he was pretty poised. And I remember him as somebody who, when they rehired him, or when, you know, they hired him this offseason, said, that's great, he's going to bring the enthusiasm that he brought, you know, when he was here the first time. I feel like he's been pretty relaxed and mellow over there on the sidelines.
So you're saying we're seeing a different Saleh and Shanahan. I mean, Shanahan was probably more hyped after those Morstead punts than anybody else. I don't think I've ever seen him grin or smile or pump his fist after a punt.
Probably not.
Special teams matter again.
Probably not. Probably not. Yeah, those are two. Listen, when you look back at the game last year, they lost to the Rams. What happened? They gave up a 50-yard punt return to Atwell, right?
Yep.
Part of the reason you're able to get a stop late in the game is because you don't give up the big play. And the New Orleans Saints have got to start at their 6 and their 10 for game-winning drives where they need a touchdown. You know, that's a long shot. But you look at last year, teams were starting possessions on the 50 after long punt returns. So, yeah, like those two late punts were in direct contrast to the way they lost that game last year against the Los Angeles Rams.
Oh,
direct contrast.
Speaking of special teams, there is one thing that we got to give them the Bob Melvin kill for. Don't bring the ball out of the end zone. Like, if it's kicked into the end zone, I'm looking at you, Isaac Guerrero. Do not bring the ball out. You are not getting back to the 35. You are not taking it to the crib. You are not going 104 yards. Do not bring the ball out of the end zone. Just don't do it. They're giving it to you at the 35. If they kick it where it says Saints back there, where there's no yard hashes, just don't bring the ball out.
The guy barely plays. The ball falls into his hands once, and you want him to take a knee? Come on. You got to give him a chance to run it out.
No, no, no. In fact, I would love, and maybe this would incentivize kick returners, well, or you know, a guy like Guerrero to not bring it out. Just you, we'll give you the 35 yards on your all-purpose yards. You can have the 35. It's automatically inputted. Just don't bring the ball out. I swear, there's a couple times where he catches it 3 yards deep, and he takes a straight line sprint up the field, and I'm just thinking, well, this ain't going anywhere. By the way, that's also, it feels like around the NFL, we just need to kill kick returns if they're not, you know, like if it's not in the end zone, then you could take it out. But if it's in the end zone, just shut it down.
Yeah, I think that we're not done tinkering. We're not done tinkering with the kickoff rules this year.
Well, you got to find a guy to not kick it into the end zone. But if the opposite team is going to do that, then take the 35 yards.
You know what? You know what? To me, was the best part of yesterday's win for the Niners.
What was that, Sonny?
It's it is the emergence of D Winners, because if nothing else, it should mean that Guru will no longer be able.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To say, well, how are they going to replace Dre Greenlaw?
Well, Dre Greenlaw hasn't played
exactly.
So far
exactly. He's played one half of football in the last 2 years. And but D Winters, by the way, what's his name, McKinstry? The hand of the face? The
Kool-Aid?
Yeah,
Kool-Aid McKinstry?
That was a terrible call.
Was that a Pearsall?
It's like inadvertent. It took like a second, but...
Well, you can't slap him in the face.
It was inadvertent.
It doesn't matter.
It was inadvertent.
It's illegal, hands in the face.
I felt it was inadvertent.
I think that was the play that Jones missed him, right?
Yeah, it was an incomplete pass.
Yeah, it should have been a touchdown.
Oh, please.
Pearsall was wide open. Kool-Aid tried to, backhand him, essentially. Tried to throw him off his route, and Pearsall was still getting open. By the way, there's
I didn't
people.
See it that way.
Okay, we can't talk about Greenlaw. We can't mention, I guess Goo hasn't done it a lot, but we can't mention Leonard Floyd because Bryce Huff is here. We can't mention Hufanga because we got Siegel now. And it's not apples to apples, but Debo's gone. I don't want to hear about it because Ricky Pearsall is now your first or second wide receiver. I mean, they got options to step in for all these dudes that they supposedly lost.
There's another guy we haven't talked a ton about, Pearsall. Pearsall looks good, year two. How many games did he end up playing last year? Like seven?
Five.
Only five.
Yeah, man, big game against Detroit, but...
So, again, another good sign. The two guys who were really banged up last year... have gotten off to a good start, and I'm talking about McCaffrey and Ricky Pearsall. All right, 888-957-9570 is the number. What's the most encouraging part of that victory yesterday if you're a San Francisco 49er fan? 26-21 over the New Orleans Saints, and the Niners have started the season 2-0 despite suffering some injuries. So they're off to a good start and a lot better than last year, when they started 1-1 and ended up 6-11. What's coming up on the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. That segment also brought to you by LifeSource Water Systems.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, Niners. They're 2-0. Beat the Saints 26-21 behind Mac Jones. Hey, Kyle, who's quarterbacking tomorrow or next week?
I think there's a chance, but, we got to see how the toe goes.
Yeah,
it's very up to debate, and so we're just taking a day at a time.
Yeah, so we'll see. They're not there yet.
Well, you don't get the feeling that he is walking out of that game trying to rush Brock Purdy back.
you don't have to do that. I mean, if he can play, he can play. But turf toe, apparently no joking matter.
Yeah, and apparently Brock Purdy got lucky.
Yep.
Because Joe Burrow is going to miss multiple months with the same affliction. It's just of a higher degree.
Who's my guy Kirk Cousins still on the Falcons? Or
he's
no
factor.
Now, he's going to be a factor in Cincinnati. I'll tell you that right now.
No, he's
Wanna
not.
Bet?
Jake Browning's their quarterback.
Oh, please. Stop.
You know what he does better than Kirk Cousins?
I have no idea.
Doesn't matter. He's younger. He can move.
Is Cousins in the league right now?
Cousins is done.
Shut up, Evan. Is he in the league?
Yeah. He's the backup for the Falcons.
Okay. Teams are going to come knocking.
Do you know how bad you have to be to make the kind of money that Kirk Cousins makes and not play?
Evan, the guy's had a storied career.
Oh, there's no doubt about that.
Thank you.
He's a good was a good quarterback.
Let's go to the always informative and entertaining Bobby in Los Altos. Hey, Bobby, how you doing?
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. Thanks for that that glowing introduction. Sure. Look, actually, I called in really to heap some praise upon Evan. But let me just say two quick things before I get to that. That post-game presser, I don't know what it is about Mac Jones, because I know he's got to be older than Purdy, but he looks, and more importantly or notably, he sounds like a 10th grader. That guy sounds like a little kid. It's crazy how immature he sounds. I mean, thank God he's a grown man and he can throw a ball.
Hey, Bobby, lay out for a sec, because I'm going to take a listen to it.
Yeah, Brock was awesome. He's helped me all week, and he's doing a good job rehabbing, and he just, like, he knows how it is out there. He's like, you're doing great. Just keep ripping it, and that's what it's all about. Like, and I'm just trying to go out there and help the team however I can for down the road.
There you go, sophomore in high school. I got you.
You're spot on, Bob.
Dude, I mean, you're just listening to it. You also got to look at his face when he's talking. I mean, it even brings it even more. But, look, last week I called about Shanahan, and I was eviscerating him and how livid I was. And CMC got so many touches.
Yeah.
The fact that he has a backup quarterback and that he was measured enough to give CMC only 20 touches, kudos to you, Coach Shenanigans. I really appreciate that. Thank you. But Evan, here, this is the reason I'm really calling. I remember like it was kind of yesterday, the first time I heard you on air, after that opening monologue, I remember calling in because I was like, this kid is spitting out too much content in the first 20 minutes. He's going to burn himself out. Mm-hmm. And I remember calling in and saying, asking Steiny, who is this guy? And ever since then, and if memory serves correct, it was around like the Warriors-Lakers playoff round two maybe from May 2023. But in any case, I'm really vibing on everything that you're saying today. I think you're just spitting straight facts, logical takes. That's why you're never going to make it as a national media personality. No way. With your measured takes and fact-based analysis, you got no career with national, but I'm glad we have you. But what you said earlier, that we don't know who the 25, 26 Niners are going to look like, is absolutely true. It's way too early. We just have to be good enough to beat the opponent in front of us week to week, and that's exactly what we're doing. And I really appreciate the fact that we're winning the games versus the opponents losing the games. We're winning the games versus the opponents losing the games. I mean, that Indianapolis win was bananas, right? That's not what's happening to us. We're winning the games. And then if you take away any name from a box score stat line and you see three touchdowns, zero interceptions, 280 yards, I don't care what your name is, that is a professional winning stat line. So I'm so pleased as punch that we have a backup that can do this. And honestly, Carolina does not look good. The fact that I'm watching them to see if they're going to pull it out against the Carolina Panthers tells me all I need to know. We're going to destroy those fools. So thank you very much for the time. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Bobby. Appreciate the call.
Well, he is also going to get some credit, too, because he called into the kickoff show yesterday, and he was right. He said that Mac Jones is a better quarterback than Spencer Rattler, and Bobby was proven correct.
If Brock Purdy had played the exact same game as Mac Jones yesterday, we would be saying Purdy was terrific yesterday. Brock Purdy was terrific, right? Terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And it was a backup.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, in a way, I do think we've spent maybe more time praising Shanahan. But like you said it earlier, I think it's correct. Backup quarterbacks aren't supposed to look like that. Now, they might throw two or three touchdowns in a game, but usually there's a mistake, a bad pick, a botched snap, potentially with a new center. You're missing guys who are running the wrong routes. There wasn't a lot of that yesterday, and that is something that is completely independent of the New Orleans Saints. So that's 100% on Mac Jones. And again, I think that if he plays this Sunday against Arizona, what he did in New Orleans changes how I feel about the 49ers going into that game. Also, watching the Cardinals almost blow back-to-back games in two straight weeks, one of them to the Panthers. Like, I think that the Cardinals are a team that is susceptible to defeat now, and it's a lot having to do with how good Mac Jones was.
I feel like, and again, I don't want to... The 49ers, I don't look at them... Like, the Rams game week five is going to be tough, but... And the game against the Cardinals is a division game, but I'm not conceding any game. I mean, I don't know if after five games they'll be 4-1. Hell, they might be 2-3 if they lose three in a row. But I don't look at it and say, "Man, they're hosed until Purdy comes back." No, this is what makes watching the NFL fun for the next two or three weeks is to see if a backup can come in for Brock Purdy and keep him in the mix. And he sure did yesterday.
But in the past, though, if a backup quarterback was stepping in for the Niners, you felt like they were going to lose that game. Last year, I thought that Brandon Allen had no chance to go to Green Bay and win that game.
Now, how much of that was the opponent and how much of that was Brandon Allen?
Both.
And I'm not taking anything away from Mac Jones. What kind of chance do you give Brandon Allen winning that game yesterday?
I mean, you give him a chance, but going into that...
Probably wouldn't have thrown 39 times.
If he did, I wouldn't have felt good about it. I'm assuming he would have thrown a pick. I mean, that's why you swapped him out. That's why Mac Jones is here and Brandon Allen is no longer a Niner.
Yeah. Let's go to Cilantro. He's in Fremont. What's up, Cilantro? How you doing?
Yeah. How you doing, Sonny?
Good.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Good. I want to point out what I heard earlier from Spadoni, and he was happy with D. Winter's play. I thought D. Winter's played great. I also think he made one of the worst bonehead penalty plays of the game. Roughing the passer out of bounds. That was one of the worst plays I've seen since Greenlaw. And I also think that the announcers were like, hey, they have bred this 1-2 punch. Greenlaw and oh my gosh, I'm blanking on his name. Greenlaw and Fred Warner.
Right.
And, it's almost like back in the day when we had the two linebackers, Patrick Willis, and anyways, I'm totally blanking. I'm drawing a blank. I was really upset with, I think that was one of the worst plays of the game. I thought that
yeah, could have hurt
that point. I mean,
appreciate you, Cilantro.
Oh, I know he's on it. Well, but that's why he's Dre Greenlaw. You remember the 2022 opener when it was the game that in Chicago was the rain. Trey Lance ran it like 13 times. During that game that they lost 19-10, Dre Greenlaw had just like an inexplicable, I think it was a face mask or some sort of 15-yard penalty that allowed the Bears to go down and score, and they eventually won the game. Like, that's kind of, that was the duality of Dre, right? Greenlaw is going to make some ultra impressive plays. He's going to hit hard. He's going to impose, you know, whatever, like a level of dominance on opponents. And he's also, he plays with his hair on fire, and that's going to cost you. You know, I think that's kind of what we've seen on the early returns from D Winners.
Yeah. Obviously, it didn't end up hurting him. But I, you know, I wrote this down. It's plays like that that just, they can, like that play there could have gotten you beat if you're D Winners and you make that mistake. Like those, and we saw a couple of them last week too. The Seahawks roughing Brock Purdy gives them another chance, like gives them another chance, and sure enough, they score and it's 7-0. Like those are the plays that kind of get average teams beat left and right. And I'm watching the Saints yesterday thinking, God, it would stink to be a fan of the Saints. You're not good. Like, first drive of the game, you drive down and get a chippy for your field goal kicker, and he pulls a Jake Moody.
Well,
you
know, the only reason they had to take the chippy is because Olave dropped the touchdown, or Rattler threw it a little too far behind him. I don't know what, yeah. But yeah, they walked right down the field. I mean, they were picking on Renardo Green on that first drive, it felt like, the entire time, and they get no points out of it. Like, that's why the Saints are a bad football team. So I think at times they certainly looked atrocious. But again, the Niners won a football game with their backup quarterback, their backup tight end. By the end of the game, a backup guard and no fullback. They still scored 26 points.
Yep. Let's go to Austin in Redwood City. This is for you, Evan. He wants to talk. Bring this up to you, Evan. What's up, Austin?
Hey, hey.
Hey, not much. How y'all doing?
Good.
What do you got?
Okay. Hey, man, this Matt Jones thing. Hey, this is supposed to be the Niners' pick, right? A couple years ago, Matt Jones took the Patriots to the playoffs his first year. So this can be good for the Niners, and this could be bad for the Niners. If Matt Jones can continue being hot, Do you go away from the high hand and bring Purdy back in the game? Like, this could be bad for Brock Purdy fans. It really can, because if he continues his success, I want to stay with the high hand. No disrespect to the franchise quarterback, but God dang, man, that was a hell of a game. Sorry for the language, even though it's the Saints, but, you know, this is a fresh season. So everybody's trying.
Evan? So, no, I got you, Austin. Thanks.
Yeah.
What?
It was for you.
And we got to stick with the hot hand. Yeah, I don't think it'll ever get to that point. Then,
okay. Here's what
you cannot have Mac Jones continue to be your starter when Brock Purdy just got paid $50 million for the next 5 seasons.
The question. So, how long is Joe Burrow out? 3 months?
Multiple months, yeah.
Okay.
Jake Browning is going to start.
Yeah. The only way that I would even entertain anything like this at this point would be is if something happened and we're like, wow, Purdy's going to miss 10 weeks. Then obviously Mac Jones is going to be the quarterback, and let's let it play out till week 11 or 12 and we'll figure it out. At that point, but outside anything like that, there's not a number of games that Mac Jones could win that would jeopardize Purdy's future here.
He's not even in year one of his contract. This is the last year of his rookie deal. Like, Brock Purdy is not going anywhere.
I mean, to me, the question would be is...
He's not going anywhere because of Mac Jones.
I mean, to me, you know, I don't let the year play out, and maybe somebody wants Mac Jones as their starter next year.
Well, that's why he took the job,
yeah,
I think.
To be Sam Darnold.
Yes, and Sam Darnold is, I mean, he got $100 million from the Seattle Seahawks. So I think that, to the caller's point, like if Mac Jones continues to win, I think Mac Jones will not be a San Francisco 49er because someone else is going to pay him a lot of money to see if he can quarterback their football team.
Well, I mean, so he's got 2 years left in his deal. Like, he's got a two-year deal, Mac
Jones has a two-year deal.
So the other thing is maybe Mac Jones does quarterback 4 or 5 games right now. Purdy comes back, but in the 4 or 5 games, Mac Jones goes 4-1. At that point, it's like, you, unless you get something crazy, it's like you need him as a backup. Like, keep him as a backup in case you need him for 5 or 6 games next year if he's that good. You know what I mean? Like, well, I mean, if Mac Jones has a good backup season for the Niners and somebody wants to make him a starter and offer you something that's worth it, sure, by all means do it. But the second option there is great too, and that is you find out Mac Jones can play, and now you've got a good backup from this point, the rest of this year and the rest of next year.
I just think that Mac Jones showed in one game that he can keep you at a pretty competitive level. You know, if anything, I don't know why we're talking about a quarterback competition. To me, it's, you won a game with a backup. That in and of itself is a win. I mean, and he looked really, this wasn't a Bengals situation where Burrow got hurt, and I thought the Jaguars kind of gave that game away, or certainly didn't punch it in. And then Jake Browning, you know, got Cincinnati a victory, but like, that's not what we're talking about here. Mac Jones looked good on Sunday. And so you're feeling, if it makes you feel anything, it probably makes the 49ers feel wise to give him a 2-year contract and not just a 1-year flyer, which is what they ended up doing with Darnold.
Now, the one thing I will say is that, yeah, Mac Jones looked very good yesterday. I don't anticipate him looking like that week in and week out. You know what I mean? I mean, he was really good, and maybe some of it was the novelty. Maybe Shanahan gets some credit. Maybe Mac Jones is better than a lot of people think. I don't know if the Cardinals' defense is better or worse than the Saints, but I would think that that game that Mac Jones played yesterday, if he plays 4 or 5 games as a backup, that may be his best game that he's going to play as a 49er backup. It was that good.
Well, statistically, but all you need him to do is continue to stack W's. I mean, that's, he has to do enough. And also, too, like he didn't get to play with George Kittle, who was unavailable for that game. You know, one of his offensive linemen got hurt in the game. I just think that Mac Jones, usually it's a situation where the backup quarterback comes in, and if he fails, it's like, that's understandable because it's a backup. But that was a game that I felt like the Niners should have won, and they did. I don't know. Did you go into it feeling like they shouldn't have been in a position to win that game?
No, I thought, you know, to me, that was a 50-50 game, the 49ers and the Saints. And like, that's the one thing. Do I think the Saints are good? No, I don't think they're very good. But the 49ers, where they're at right now, they could have lost that game. And in fact, like, that to me, Evan, is why you're right. We should be encouraged at this point. Not because the 49ers look like world beaters for the first 2 weeks of the season, but that they won two games that were both hard fought, both gritty, both where they did a lot of good things, but they didn't play perfect by any stretch. And so I would be encouraged because we're 2-0, and we've been pretty good. We haven't been great. We've been pretty good, and we're 2-0. So that leaves a lot of room for improvement, and it leaves a lot of room to win more games.
Well, I think there's a different level that both sides of the ball can get to. The offense, it's because of injury. and the defensive side of the ball would be because of youth. You know, you're just expecting a lot of these young players to get better game in and game out. And, I mean, the fact that Nick Bosa looks as good as he does already is a plus. That Fred Warner looks to be back to playing at the same level that he's always been. You know, you have enough from your stars to around them. Just expect the young guys to take baby steps, and by the end of the year, this might be a pretty formidable unit. So, you know, and then on the offensive side, it's just hard to, I think, to kind of look at and say what they can become because so many guys are out. But the, you know, it's funny, the one dude who couldn't stay on the field last year is Christian McCaffrey, and he's been the most consistent guy through the first 2 weeks of this season. Even if he might not be at 100% compared, you know, I don't think he has the burst of 2023, but they've kept him upright.
Yeah, I'm looking, like, I think, for example, the, you know, the Cardinals are going to be a much tougher team to defend than, you know, the first 2 weeks of the season, if for no other reason than, you know, Kyler Murray has given the 49ers some trouble in the past. But again, it's like a different defense. You know, Murray has given the Niners some issues, but then again, they've got about five or six new defensive players, so who knows? But I do.
They've also struggled to close both of those games. I mean,
the Cardinals.
Yeah, they almost lost to the Saints. If a guy catches a ball, it's going to overtime. And against the Panthers, Bryce Young had a chance to lead that team and win that game when it should have been over in the middle of the third quarter. You know, I don't think the Cardinals have looked impressive at all, even though they're 2-0.
Well, and that's the other thing. When I look at this season for the Niners, it's so many games come down to a handful of plays. You know, it's like if you have a 17-game season, it feels like eight or nine games come down to a handful of plays, and then the other eight or nine games you either should win or you shouldn't win depending on how you played. And I feel like they are now 2-0 in the games, one possession, handful of plays determine a game. And last year they were probably, you know, 2-7 in those kind of games. So again, I just think they're ahead of the pace this year, and obviously from last year. And next.
So are you
week,
saying you're nervous because the Niners are 2-0 in one score games?
No, I'm saying that they're done. Those games are gone. You've won them a year after you'd lost most of them. So whether you, the 49ers have played this game, they played those games a lot last year, and they didn't win very many of them. This year they're already 2-0 in those games.
So they're the anti-Chiefs. You know, the Chiefs went 10-0.
Well, as Brian Kelly would say, it's been two games.
Yeah, and the Chiefs have lost 2 one-score games, where last year they were 10-0.
Yeah.
Regression to the mean.
Hey, we got crossover coming up next. That means it's Willard and Dibley time. That segment was brought to you by Moderna.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.